I'd like to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. I would like to read from Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints of God at Rome, one of the main things that he's emphasizing is that God brought his judgment and was about to bring his judgment on the Jews in a very terrible way. And he was telling the Gentiles what a blessing that they needed to realize what a blessing they had to be able to be part of Christ, to know Christ, to be able to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 11, I'll begin with verse 13. Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. And the Word of God says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Now, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Gentiles and was an apostle to the Gentiles, and yet he still had a great burden for the Jews. He says in verse 15, "For if the casting away of them, that is the casting away of the Jews, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear." What is God telling the Gentiles? He's saying, God broke off the Jews, and he grafted you in. And he says, you better fear, because the same God that broke them off, who were the natural branches, and grafted in you, who were the wild branches, he says he can also break you off and graft them back in again. Verse 21, Romans 11, verse 21 says, "For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee." Now listen carefully to verse 22. Romans 11, verse 22, the Word of God says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." I want us to go back to verse 22, where the Word of God says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." There's one particular expression there that's on my heart, that I know that God put that on my heart this week, and that is to behold the goodness of God. Now this says, "Behold the goodness and severity of God." We may look at the second half sometime later. But right now, the burden of my heart is that we would behold the goodness of God. Just concentrate on beholding, and that word behold means look at the goodness of God. Look at how good God is. Just look at His goodness. I am convinced as a result of studying and praying and trying to look at God's goodness, I am convinced that it is very difficult for me, and probably for most of God's children, that it is difficult just to look at His goodness without thinking about His goodness toward me. My mind, all during this week, as I have tried to just behold the goodness of God, the fact that God is good, just to look at Him, just to look at God in His glory, just to look at His majesty, just to look at His holiness, that when I think about beholding the goodness of God, my mind rapidly turns from just looking at God to looking at God's goodness to me. And I encourage you during this coming week to pray that God will help you and help me, that we might just behold the goodness of God. God is good. Mama and I typically talk every day, but on Saturday she always wants to know, what are you going to preach about tomorrow? And she wants me to go through and preach to her and tell her all about the sermon. She never gets tired of hearing about the Word of God. And then on Monday we'll talk and she'll say, tell me what you preached about. Now, yesterday when I was talking with her and she said, what are you going to preach about? And I said, the Lord willing, I'm going to try to preach about behold the goodness of God. God has put that strongly on my heart to just behold the goodness of God. She said, do you remember the prayers that we prayed every day when you were growing up? Part of the prayer was, God is what? God is great. God is good. Let's just stop right there. God is great. God is good.
All the time.
Yes, He is. Let's add that to that. God is good all the time. Brother Jerry is good sometimes, isn't he, Sister Janice? Sometimes. I'm good sometimes. But I'm not good all the time. And this dear sister has emphasized God is good all the time. God has never lied. God cannot lie. God has never sinned. He cannot sin. God is holy. That's the reason Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, when he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw, what are we looking at? Behold the goodness of God. Isaiah did that. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, and the seraphims began to shout, and to cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and art and is to come. Holy, God is holy. Have you spent much time just looking at God? Just looking at God. There are many of you that I could just look at you all day long. Thursday or Friday, my wife was pulling into a store and I pulled in behind. I saw her and I pulled in and I got out and I told her, I said, I bet there's not a husband in this town that lusts to see his wife out when he's out as much as I do you. I like to see her. I like to look at her. She's pleasant for me to look at. She's a blessing just to behold her. And I've been thinking about that as I've been thinking about, behold the goodness of God. Behold God. I've been wondering why do I love to look at some people and I see them and I see their goodness. But my question is, how often do I just stop and look at the goodness of God? He's prettier than everybody. He's holier than everybody. I was thinking as I meditated on this, I just don't know of anyone more godly in my lifetime that I've known than Sister Queen Waters, one of the greatest saints. And then I thought about Brother Foster Smith, one of the greatest men, and Sister Magian, all the different old saints that were here when I came here. And I thought about, I love to just look at them. I love to just look at how clean and pure they look to me. Well, I need to stop and look at God. Behold the goodness of God. Behold, every morning, just get up and just behold the goodness of God. All during the day, just stop and just behold the goodness of God. Now, my problem has been every day this week that I've tried to do this, to just behold the goodness of God, my mind always, before long, it jumps from just looking at His goodness to looking at His goodness to me. In other words, when I think about the goodness of God and I look at Him in His glory and I behold His beauty, before long, my mind shifts from, look at how good God is to me. Look at all that God's doing for me. And we want to look at that this morning. We want to try to look at four different things. One is we want to just behold the goodness of God. Just behold God. Just behold His holiness and His purity. The second thing is we want to look at the goodness of God. Behold the goodness of God to all mankind. Did you know God is good to every one of His creatures on this earth? I'm not talking about just children of God. God is good to all of His creation. Every man on this earth, God is good to them. And then we want to look at God is good to all of His children in a very special way. And then we want to look at God is good to His children who walk in obedience to Him. God is especially good to them. Let's first think about just behold the goodness of God. Is there anybody here that can just right now just tell me, as you think about beholding the goodness of God, what does your mind go to? Just think. What does your mind go to? What do you see when you see, when you behold the goodness of God? When you behold the Lord. Savior. Okay, but when you think of Savior, you're thinking about His goodness to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to try to think of just beholding His goodness without thinking of Him being good to us. You know? You're correct. I see Him as my Savior, and that's wonderful and marvelous, but that still is jumping from just beholding Him to beholding what He has done for me. Just think about behold the Lord. Tell me something that you can think of when you just behold the Lord. Creation. Okay, good. Creation. Now you can go all the way back in the Word of God. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Now you can just behold the goodness of God. But you're still focusing on His goodness in something He did. You understand what I'm saying there? And it's all right. I'm not saying any of you're wrong. I'm just saying that when you behold God in the creation of this world, you're looking at how powerful He was. You're looking at, as this dear sister said, she said, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. This dear sister said that when she beholds God, she sees the light. Now, do you see that that's the light of God is so bright that you can't look at it very long. The light of God When on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John, when they saw Jesus as he was, he shined as the brightness of the noonday sun. And the brightness was so light, the light was so bright, that they were blinded and they couldn't see. Because when they looked at him, his glory was manifested to such a degree that they just couldn't stand to look. He was so beautiful. He was so bright. So one thing, if you behold the goodness of God, you're going to behold the light of God. If you behold the goodness of God, I would encourage you to go home and read Revelation chapter 4. Because in Revelation chapter 4, John describes him seeing God on his throne. And it describes the 24 elders that were around the throne. And it describes the beautiful rainbow that was around the throne. You know what John is doing there in Revelation chapter 4? He's just beholding what? Beholding. Just beholding God. Just beholding the goodness of God. The purity of God. The righteousness of God. The holiness of God. David said this in Psalm 27 and verse 13. David said, I had fainted. Listen carefully. Psalm 27 verse 13. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Brethren, that can be. I'm looking forward to seeing the goodness of the Lord in eternal heaven. Are you going to see God up there like you've never seen Him before? One day you're going to see God face to face. One day you're going to behold the Lord face to face. And when you see Him there, you're going to declare and you're going to know, I have never seen Him before. No matter how great you have seen Him here, no matter how powerful and holy you've seen Him here, you're still seeing through a glass darkly. And you have never seen the majesty and glory of God as He really is. But one day you will see Him. But I don't believe David was talking about dying and going to heaven. I believe that David in Psalm 27 and 13 was talking about right now. I would faint. I would give up. I'd fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Have you ever seen the goodness of the Lord right here? You ever seen the goodness of the Lord? In that same Psalm, Psalm 27 and verse 5, David says, One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You hear what he's saying? I want to go to God's house just to behold the beauty of the Lord. Just to see His beauty. And that's what's on my heart, is to behold God. To see God. But Tony Jackson said that when Mama used to go and visit Daddy at the nursing home, that there was a time for Mama's arrival. And that Daddy would, Brother Tony got there just before Mama was coming one time. And that Daddy said, Brother Tony, I need you to help me get ready. Moina's coming. And so he wanted to get his teeth brushed. He wanted to help him wash and put on some deodorant, put on some Old Spice and just get his hair combed. He kept looking in the mirror and said, I want to look real good. Moina's coming. And he said then that he said, just push me out there in the hall now where I can watch those double doors, probably 100 feet all the way down to the double doors coming into the wing of the nursing home he was in. He said, just sit me right here like this. And he said, when those doors opened up, when it was time for Mama to arrive, those doors opened up, and here she started coming down that hall. Tony said, I started crying because it was like, he said, all I could think of was, here comes the bride. Here comes the bride. And to Daddy, that was the most beautiful sight in all the world, was to see her come walking down that hall. Now, brethren, God is more beautiful than that. We find great pleasure and we find great joy in looking at little babies, in looking at our spouses, in looking at our children and our grandchildren. We look at them and we think how beautiful You know who has the prettiest 8 grandchildren on the face of the earth? You're looking at it. Brother Terry, he knows it. It's me. They're beautiful. I love to see them. But my question is, how often do I look at the Lord? And that's what the text is saying is, behold the Lord. Look at the Lord. Behold the goodness of the Lord. Look at how good He is. You remember in Matthew chapter 19 that there was a man that came to Jesus and said, "Good Master." You remember that? Turn to Matthew 19 very quickly in your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 19 and listen, please. In Matthew chapter 19, listen, please, beginning in verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. The Word of God says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, "And behold," what does that word "behold" mean? What does "behold" mean? Say it again.
Look upon.
Okay, to look upon. Look upon with steadfastness. Look upon seriously. Concentrate on this. He said to them, "Behold, one came and said unto him, 'Good Master.'" Does that sound... Would you have said that to Jesus, "Good Master"? You see anything wrong? If you didn't know what the Scripture said, would you see anything wrong with calling Him "Good Master"? I wouldn't see anything wrong with that. And the man said, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." You hear what he said there? There's only one that's good. Now, he was saying, if you know that I'm God, it's all right to say "Good Master." If you don't know that I'm God, don't you call me "Good Master." Do you follow that? Good. There's none good but one. Do I think of many people that I can say, "There's a good man, there's a good woman"? I can think of many people that I would say good, but God's Word says there is none good but one, and that is God. Behold the goodness of God. Behold Him as He is. Now, let's shift from just beholding, and I don't want you to stop beholding God. I want you to behold God all during this week. I want you to see how much time you can spend just beholding the Lord, just beholding Him. Now, the second thing I want to look at is behold the goodness of God to all of His creation, to everybody in this world. Is God good to everybody in this world? Is God good to everybody? Yes, He is. Not just to God's children. God is good to every human being on the face of this earth. God is good not only to every human being, God is good to every creature on the face of the earth. God is good to everything and everyone. God is good. In Matthew chapter 5, back Matthew 6, let's turn back there just a moment. In Matthew 6, when Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is telling the people not to worry, He focuses on how good God is to all creation. And He's telling the children of God, don't worry. You think about how good God is to all of His creation, and He's going to be even better to His children. He is even better to His children. Matthew chapter 6, listen please to verse 26. One of the things that Jesus says to His people, to His disciples, is, don't worry. Anybody ever worry? I'm looking over this congregation. I know there's some people that worry in this congregation. My eyes looking at a preacher right now, and he worries sometimes. But Jesus, in this whole passage in Matthew 6, 24 through 34, is saying, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And one of the illustrations that He gives about not worrying is the goodness of God to all of His creation. He says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, He says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, well, they sow not." What are the fowls? We don't call them fowls. What are they?
Birds.
Birds. Look at the birds. Well, can you see the goodness of God when you look at the birds? Can you see the goodness of God when you look at the flowers? Can you see the goodness of God when you look at the stars? Can you see the goodness of God when you look at people? Can you see Christ in them? Can you look at the goodness of God all around you? Indeed, you can. So he says, behold, in verse 26. What's the word behold mean? Look at, concentrate on. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Do they plant? Are there any birds that plant seed for to grow and for them to eat? Are there any birds that do that? No. Zilch. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Have you seen? I know somebody, their refrigerator broke yesterday, and they're kind of panicking about the food. And I would too. When my freezer, I've had a freezer, and Sister Nina and Brother Herman had a freezer that went out. All that food was gone and lost. Listen, brethren, I kind of depend on the food in my freezer. People come showing up. I want to get out plenty of food for them. But did you know the birds don't have a freezer? They don't have a pantry. They don't have any food anywhere stored up. Birds don't do that. And God is, through Jesus, saying, now look at the birds. They sow not, neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Isn't that pretty? Look at the birds. God's going to take care of the birds. God does take care of the birds. And you are more valuable than all the birds. And so, don't what? Don't worry. Don't. If you'll behold the goodness of God, if you'll look at how good God is to all of His creation, if you look at how God can provide for all the birds and the animals on this earth, if you'll look at that, and you'll remember you are of much more value than any and all the animals combined, it'll keep you from worrying because you'll know the good God who is my Father. And you notice that's the wording that your Father knows that you have need of these things. Your Father's got everything under control. And your Father's going to take care of you. Therefore, don't worry. See, God takes care. In the previous chapter, Matthew 5, he says, well, back up and look at that one verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Matthew 5, verse 45. The scripture says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh, listen carefully, here's what I came after. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. This morning, when the sun, we say the sun rose. When the sun began to shine on us, did it just shine on good people? Or did it shine on the just and the unjust? He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Is God good to all mankind? The good and the evil, the just and the unjust. Behold the goodness of God. Behold God in His goodness. Behold the goodness of God to all creation. Now behold the goodness of God that He has reserved only for His people. You, if you're a child of God, if you love God this morning, it's because God first loved you. If you're a child of God and you love God, understand God loves you. And you need to behold the goodness of God in loving you. Sometimes the devil deceives me into thinking, you know, I'm pretty lovable. You ever been deceived? Like, I'm not talking about God. I'm just talking about people, you know. I'm such a nice guy. Everybody ought to love me. Well, that's just not always true. I may be that way a lot of the time, but I'm not always real lovable. Now listen, God loves you. You know these little children's songs and little children's prayer. God is great. God is good. Simple, but important. Little song, Jesus what? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, brethren, if you can look at how Jesus loves you, if you can look at how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, how God loves you, you need to look at, behold, the goodness of God in loving you. And God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to come down into this world. Jesus loved you so much that He left the portals of heaven. And though He was rich and He was perfect and he was holy. And he had never experienced sin, and he had never experienced suffering, and he had never experienced poverty, yet for your sake, he left the portals of heaven and came down into this evil world. And he took upon him the form of flesh, and he suffered, and he was persecuted, and he was hung on the cross of Calvary, and he was spit upon. And as he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, and before then they mocked him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And in all of that, you know what you can behold? You can behold the goodness of God in not coming down from the cross. You can behold the goodness of God in loving you so much that the Father gave his only begotten Son for you. We need to behold the goodness of the Lord on his people. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's beholding the goodness of the Lord. Now, the text. Go back to Romans 11, verse 22 very quickly. Because the text is not really concentrating on anything that I've already said, but rather the text in Romans 11, verse 22 is concentrating. I believe we ought to do everything else I've already mentioned, but the text in Romans 11, 22 is concentrating on, let me reread Romans 11, 22. It says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off." Now, this is the goodness of God that he only manifests towards his obedient children who continue in his goodness. If you follow his word, if you follow in the footsteps of Jesus, there is goodness that God manifests to you that he does not manifest to all of his other children. He does not manifest that goodness to all of his creation, but it is reserved for those who continue in his goodness. Can you tell me some things? Can you tell me some ways that you can behold the goodness of God being manifested towards you when you are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, when you're continuing in his goodness? Give me an example of some way that God blesses you when you're obedient to him. Give me any example.
Peace and joy.
Yes. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That, my dear friends, my brethren, is reserved for those who continue in his goodness. Now listen carefully in closing. I just want to give you this. Thank you, Lord. Listen. The scripture says it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. You hear that? When you're walking in sin, you're going in the wrong direction. You know who is the only one that can turn you around?
God.
Now, brothers and sisters in Christ are to go and try to convert someone, but no matter what, the bottom line is this: it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. And every time you have ever repented, every time you've turned away from sin, it's because God, it's the goodness of God that led you to repentance. Behold the goodness of the Lord. Behold how good he is. Behold how good he is to all of his creation. Behold how good he is to all of his children. And then especially behold his goodness towards his children that continue in his goodness. May God help us to hear and understand the word of God is my prayer.